Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, May 1st, and we're back with you.
We are, and it's May.
It's May already, wow.
That's crazy, we're almost halfway done with the year.
I know, I was just like thinking, I wrote a check this morning and I'm putting, you know, like 5/1/2014. And I'm going, God, 2014 just started.
I know.
You know, and it's already May.
I know. I asked someone yesterday, I was like, what's the date on Monday? And they're like, it's Cinco de Mayo. Mm. I was like, oh my God, already?
That's true, huh?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Do you celebrate it?
No.
No, huh?
In college,
well, a couple margaritas and stuff wouldn't hurt, you know?
In college, it was an excuse to go out, but I probably won't.
Yeah.
Maybe. I might go and get Mexican.
Yeah, huh? I know.
I don't need an excuse to get Mexican food.
Yeah, huh? I know. Did you ever eat Mexican food back in England?
No.
No, huh? They
and
don't
I was
really have
so...
it?
I didn't want to try Mexican food at school.
Uh-huh.
I was like, ew, I know I won't like this. No, I'm not coming with you guys to get Mexican. Yeah. This is all my best friends.
Very spicy. And you guys come from a land of sort of bland food, right?
No, British food is so good.
I know, you did say that, but I don't know why we have that impression.
I know, but eventually I tried Mexican food and I love it. Absolutely love it. Now I could eat it every day.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I love it.
It is good.
And chicken quesadilla.
Uh-huh.
It's my favorite. I get it every time. It's so simple, but I love it.
Really? Well, do you have a favorite place where you go?
I don't like expensive Mexicans because they're too fancy.
Right.
I like, at school, I mean, we would get $2 beers, and they were like double pints.
Wow.
And queso for like a dollar, and then a quesadilla for $2. So we would each spend like $5 and have a really good night.
Yeah,
so
wow.
Here, to spend like $40 on a meal on Mexican just kills me.
Yeah,
and that's like just for me. For like, you know, when two people are going, it just gets expensive.
There's
one in Playa del Rey that I like that's kind of cheapish. I have no idea what the name is, but none around the valley that I can find. And the cheaper ones tend to be better.
That's true, yeah.
They really do.
Try El Torito. That's not too expensive, you know. I mean, if you don't drink too much, then, you know, it's not too bad. And if you want something fast, there's Poquito Mas here. Did you ever try that?
I have tried that. I do like that.
It's amazing, mm-hmm. right? Because
yeah.
it's good quality food.
Yeah.
It's fast food, but it's good food.
Yeah.
And it's here. So sometimes I eat that, but then sometimes I get tired of Mexican food. So you got to eat it like, you know,
right.
a little bit here and there. But I guess you could eat it every day. So
I could.
That's good.
I ate it on Friday and on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
2 days in the weekend.
Sounds good. Do you like margaritas?
No, I don't.
Really?
I like strawberry daiquiris and pina coladas, but I don't like...
Yeah.
No, I've never been a margarita
fan. It's kind of sour, yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
And I don't like drinks where you can taste the alcohol. I'm just not a big alcohol person.
Right.
Like the taste of vodka and whiskey and... ugh.
And tequila
yeah,
and all that,
just,
right?
No.
So you couldn't do shots and stuff like
no,
that?
No, I can't do shots. No. No.
What about beer?
I love beer.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's true, because you don't really feel the alcohol in the same way as
no,
you would in a cocktail, right?
Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like the bitter, harsh taste of liquor.
Yeah.
It's a nice beer.
Yeah. Or just, you know, I mean, you can ask them to give you light alcohol in the drink and stuff, you know.
But then it's like, that's what you're paying for.
Right.
So then true. I hate buying like a $12 drink. But go light on the alcohol.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Well, is that what drinks cost today? $12?
Some
like
places,
when you go to a bar or something?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot of money,
it is.
You know?
It's
I
such
mean, you
a
buy
rip-off.
The whole friggin' bottle for that
I know.
Price.
I know. It's insane.
Wow.
And
that's how
of...
they make their money, you know?
Oh, completely.
I mean, I bet you like restaurant checks are mostly drinks,
mm-hmm.
right? More than
yeah.
the food.
Oh, definitely. I mean, where I work, I push, like, oh, you should get a pitcher.
Yeah, really?
We don't sell liquor, but we sell beer. It's beer and wine.
Right.
And especially after people have had a couple beers, it's just like, yeah, bring another round. Bring another round. Like, okay. That's fine with me.
Yeah. So that's cool. I mean, you work in an environment where people are, like, happy and celebrate and stuff like that,
definitely.
Right? So, I mean, do you, like, does it make you enjoy it a little more?
Yeah, I do. And it's a sports bar, so
that's
I watch the games and it's fun.
That's what I'm saying. A place like that would be fun, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, a regular restaurant would probably not be. But considering that they come there for games and, you know, things like
No, it's definitely, it's a really fun atmosphere.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. I should come by there sometime.
You should.
It is out of the way, though, right?
It is.
It's in Pasadena, Glendale?
It's Montrose, La Cañada.
Oh, Montrose, okay.
So it's kind of far.
Wow, so you take the drive every day?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, a couple, like 3-4 times a week.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's quite a drive.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It is.
Well, good for you. You're a hard worker. You know?
I think I'm a workaholic.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I know, you must be. You're doing so many different things, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it's a good thing. I mean, it'll make you advance your career. I don't know that many people that are as ambitious as you at your age, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just they focus too much on partying and stuff, you know? So,
it's true.
Yeah. I know.
Speaking of, well, I guess this isn't too much to do with partying, but Floyd Mayweather, he broke up with his girlfriend or fiance. He just proposed to Chantel Jackson last year.
Now, who is this guy?
And Floyd Mayweather?
I don't know who he is.
He is a big boxer.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm questioning myself.
Well,
he's
maybe
a big
he is.
Name. He's
yeah.
a big sp-
Okay.
It's boxing. But he's huge. And he broke up with, he called off the engagement, and he's released on Twitter or Instagram and Facebook that the reason was he's posted photos, and the comment was, the real reason me and Chantel Christine Jackson and tagged her broke up was because she got an abortion, and I'm totally against killing babies. She killed our twins.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, and she did it without his consent,
yeah,
huh?
Did it without his consent.
Wow.
And they broke up last October, so for him to suddenly post this on social media, I'm guessing they had some kind of confrontation.
Yeah.
But yeah.
God, when
intense,
people air
right?
their dirty laundry.
I know, it's like, okay, this isn't not needed.
Yeah, you don't want the public to know about
this.
Yeah, you know?
But obviously he's just trying to get at her for doing that. But I mean, he bought her a $10 million diamond engagement ring.
$10
million on a ring.
I don't get
on a ring.
I'll never get
like,
it.
Like, oh my gosh, the things, give me $10,000. I can spend it on way better things.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, you probably can't tell the difference between like a $10,000 ring and a $10 million ring.
Right.
The diamonds probably just shine a bit brighter.
Probably, yeah. And they're much bigger, I'm sure.
Right.
I mean, that has to be a rock like I've never seen before.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I can only imagine. I wish they had pictures of that.
I know. Pictures of the ring, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. He must really love her, you know?
He did.
He did.
Not anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I thought it was kind of a cool, because he's showing that, I mean, he doesn't stand for abortion. And that's a good thing. But the way he did it, it's kind of trashy.
Yeah. I know. Well, you know,
good,
I mean,
for him for standing up, because not many people stand up against that kind of thing and really show that they aren't for abortion. And
yeah, but you know, I mean, the thing is also, I mean, it tells you something about the nature of the relationship. You know,
when
she went against his will and did that. You know, although, you know, I mean, legally she can, right? I mean, it's her body and everything.
Technically,
yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, you know, maybe you can't force someone to have a baby if they don't want it, but
it is in the female's control.
Right.
They're the one that carries the baby, but when is that? I mean, when you're in a relationship and you're engaged,
right,
it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I guess it
kind
is.
You kind of need to talk to the other person about that.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, it's his kids, too. You
exactly.
Know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. People do crazy things.
They
man.
Really do.
Yeah. So, related to that, I guess, is the Donald Sterling thing.
I was just looking at him.
Yeah. And so now they're asking if it was legal to record and release his rant. So they're saying that in California, both people, the one that's recording and the one that's being recorded, or all the people need to know that the recording is taking place for it to be legal. So the question is, did he know that he was being recorded?
I highly doubt it.
Right.
But now it's so far gone that...
Yeah.
I mean...
No, I know. I mean, yeah. They're just talking about legally, you know, so maybe he could get her in trouble and stuff. But the thing is that if this was obtained legally, then it's legal to release it,
mm-hmm.
they say.
He went to dinner at one of the busiest steakhouses in Hollywood last night, and that's causing problems because it's like he doesn't mind going out in the middle of Hollywood. I think it was the Grill he went to.
Uh-huh.
One of the entertainment industry's busiest places.
Right.
So he's not shy. He's not hurt or worried.
Right.
You know, he's not feeling anything. He was out and about.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's going... he's got a big trip to the bank with the money he's going to get.
Right.
But like I said yesterday, it's the disgrace, you know, that's hard to live with when... I can't imagine, like, the whole world hating you, you know?
It doesn't seem like he's that bothered, though. I mean, if he's going to such a big place for dinner,
mm-hmm.
it's like he's wanting the camera attention. He's wanting
probably
the paparazzi.
Yeah.
It's like, really, dude? Like, and he was with his wife,
yeah, like,
who they
stay
are
home,
separated,
right?
But he was with, his wife was driving the car, and it's like, you guys are crazy. Like, now the wife is with him, because she was against him.
Yeah.
So who knows? When these stories, there's so much that people don't know. And I mean, what? And you can never add it up, though, because when something like this is released, everyone wants to know every piece of information.
Right.
And the fact that they're estranged and they're not together and he has a mistress and his mistress recorded it. So now why is his wife back driving a car that he's in?
Yeah. Well,
you know?
Maybe because,
like,
when he's in trouble, they get back together or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but.
So many questions.
I know. I know. But, you know, I mean, you want to mess with people, you know, I mean, I don't know how much he trusted that girlfriend, but, you know, you got to really be careful with people, you
definitely.
Know, because the person that's next to you in bed could be your biggest enemy the next
mm-hmm.
day, you know, and it does happen. People do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess out of all the owners of the NBA teams, 3/4 have to...
To agree to
agree,
this?
Agree
oh,
to,
okay.
for him to be banned.
Or to vote on
or
this,
to,
right.
to have to sell out. So I guess it's up to them. I'm sure they will, but...
Yeah. I know there was criticism that they weren't saying anything in the beginning, but, you know. Okay, well, here's our guests, so let's get to them. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Is this Sam?
Yes, it is. Colin?
Hey, Sam. This is Colin from Wishland.com.
Yes, Colin. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Wonderful. Are you calling alone, or is Angie calling too?
Can she call in as a second party on this thing?
Yeah, if you'd like to, sure.
That would be great.
Yeah,
hang on just 1 second.
Yeah, just give it to her and stuff. And Colin and Angie have a part of a couple of interesting websites, so we're going to check that out and see.
Just 1 second.
She's sure. Yeah, I'm just filling the empty air here with something. So I'm not exactly sure what we're going to talk about, but it has to do with sex, I'm sure. So, and I always like that. So a great way to start.
Especially
the day.
With your new station, right?
Yeah, I know.
Links in.
Yeah, well, it's just an extension of me, I guess, of my perverted side. But yeah, I mean, look, men just, they're so simple, you know, they just... born with a
sense. Okay, she's calling in now.
Okay, great. Awesome. Colin, where are you calling us from?
We're calling you from the Granite State in New Hampshire.
Oh, I see. Okay. Hi, Angie, are you here with us?
A little porn trivia for you.
Yeah.
You didn't know.
Yeah.
There's only 2 states in the U.S. where it's constitutionally protected to create porn. California is one, and New Hampshire is the other.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
How strange is that?
Yeah.
California's got much better weather.
Yeah, it does. It does. Hi, Angie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. So you guys are at the same location now? You're both in New Hampshire?
Yeah,
we're both in New Hampshire.
Same office.
Oh, I see. Okay, great. Yeah, that's right. You had given her the number. I thought you were, like, texting her or something. But at any rate, so So you guys contacted us and stuff, and you're involved in the porn industry. Tell us a little bit about that.
In general terms, or to give you a little background on it. In 1994, we literally stumbled into starting one of the first bondage and fetish sites on the internet, and it was obviously all picture based during those days. So we just turned 20 years old this year, wasteland.com.
Uh-huh.
And then in 1999, Angie and a crew of women that she pulled together started a site called sssh.com, like right. shush.com, sssh. And that's porn for women created by women.
Right.
And that's now turned 15 years old.
Wow. So it's not a new, because I've been reading about it lately. I didn't realize it was around for 15 years. So Angie, you're the one who started the website?
I did.
Oh, wow. So, and how long ago was that, did you say?
15 years ago.
15 years for do you guys just pronounce it shh.com, or how do you guys pronounce it?
Yeah, we just say shush.com.
Oh, shush. Okay.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay. Even though
I tend to spell it a lot because there's so many different variations of spelling shush.
Right.
That I just tend to spell it and then follow that up with a shh.com.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the price you pay when you want a short domain name. You know, you have to go
with
something.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
You have to go with something that's made up.
We've got to memorize, though. SSSH.com.
Okay. So three S's. Right. Three S's. Okay, great. So, so we know what that site is about. What's Wasteland about? Is that like a traditional just pictures and videos, or?
It's specific to BDSM bondage.
Okay.
And we come from these sort of what we call authentic bondage or authentic BDSM. So this is the type of thing that people are in that lifestyle, and they go to parties and clubs, and they've got, it's called a DS relationship. So there's a master and a slave, or a submissive and a dominant in those relationships. So that's, we cater to that community much more so than the kind of rough sex stuff that's out there at this point. So,
right.
Yeah, it is tough. I mean, there's beating and spanking and caning and cropping.
Oh, God. Yeah.
it's all kind of wrapped up in the wrapper of being authentic things that people actually, you know, do.
Right.
As for their lifestyle rather than just entertainment value.
Yeah. And, you know, having been around for a while with your website, I'm sure that you've developed quite an audience. I mean, there's like a big community, right, for BDSM?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The BDSM community is huge. Worldwide. Wow. Has been for, you know, decades.
Yeah. And that's amazing because, you know, for the everyman, it's sometimes hard to understand why people get into this stuff. Can you shed some light on that? I mean, why are people into the caning and the humiliation and the domination and all that? And especially as it's related to sex, you know?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody's got their, you know, own motivation and, you know, whatever we call it, the twisted fuck gene, you know.
Right.
Everybody has got different sorts of fantasies and different sort of things that turn them on. And, you know, some people like to be dominated, you know,
right,
both physically and sexually, in the context of that, you know. And some people enjoy like femdoms, you know, for dominatrixes, you know, they're very well crafted at being able to, you know, inflict some humiliation or pain or whatever on a submissive. And it's just a different way of running a relationship than,
right,
you know, your usual, you know, let's go out for, you know, dinner and a movie tonight, honey.
Yeah.
It's more like, you know, okay, pull down your pants, you bad girl, and I spank you.
Right. Wow. Okay. It's amazing. So, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's easy to judge and criticize that, but you figure that, like, you know, everybody's got some kind of a kink, you know, that nobody knows about, you know.
And the thing with BDSM is, you know, the very foundation of it's all consensual.
Right.
You know, and it's initiated, and everybody knows what they're agreeing to, and there are safe words involved, so if things start to hurt too much or whatever, you can just say whatever that safe word is and everything just stops.
Right, right.
But it's a very mature
dynamic, you know,
way that people handle this stuff.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it sounds amazing, and now I guess with 50 Shades of Grey, this has become like a lot more mainstream, or at least people are more aware of it.
Yeah, 50 Shades of Grey, I mean, really, brought a lot of attention, you know, from people who had never really considered the whole BDSM and kinky sex stuff,
right.
You know, especially a lot of women. But, you know, maybe they had a kind of a secret fantasy about this stuff all along, but it just didn't seem to be socially acceptable. But now all of a sudden you've got the best-selling trilogy, you know, beyond the Bible.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
People are reading it on the train, and people are reading it in the, you know, in the bus stations, and, you know, it's just out there. So that, in some ways, that kind of gave kind of a approval value to it, it's okay to explore this stuff for a lot of women.
Right, right.
I don't know, Angie, do you want to talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, Angie, go ahead.
You're the porn for women lady.
Yeah.
Oh, about 50 Shades of Grey? I think it made women's sexuality very acceptable and mainstream. I think, sorry, guys, I'm just getting over a cold. Excuse me for a second.
Okay.
I think 50 Shades of Grey is to women's sexuality what the rabbit, what Sex and the City did for the rabbit.
Mm.
Remember the old, the episode where they used the rabbit vibrator?
Uh-huh.
I don't remember that.
I do.
Yeah.
It just and then the rabbit sales skyrocketed.
What right. What show was like, that?
Sex in the City.
Oh, okay. I figured that's what
you're talking
about.
It's a vibrator.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what 50 Shades of Grey did.
Uh-huh.
You know, it just made women feel really comfortable with their sexuality and very open.
Right.
And I think we needed it. I think it was time.
Right.
It was time.
Yeah. Now, Angie, I wanted to ask you, your site is a sex site for women. Now, how do women consume porn differently than men?
I don't think they do.
Yeah. So why do you need a special website for women?
Well, I mean, don't forget, we started 15 years ago before 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
And, the difference between Shush and a tradition or a mainstream male website is Shush has got movies and a radio station and a virtual world and live events and articles, and I mean it's all encompassing. It's like a community. So you know, I shouldn't say that they don't consume it differently, because what we've presented them with is a whole community.
Right.
You know, with all different kinds of aspects. And we also realize that some women still don't feel comfortable with, like, hardcore sex.
And stuff
so
like that.
Shush
right.
is a dynamic site, which means that you can choose how hard you want Shush to be.
Oh, wow.
So by putting in the number of lips into the search engine inside
right.
Shush will change for you. So if you only want to read articles, listen to stories or novels, because we have audiobooks too, or read stories and novels, do the articles, partake in the live events or the virtual world, or listen to the radio station, just put in one lip.
Right.
And that's all you can get. You know what I mean? But if you want to see, you know, two lips, you're going to end up with the tutorials and talk TV, because we've got TV stations in there. And then three lips, you're going to end up with the whole... You know, if you go into Shush as is to see, you're going to get the whole shebang. But, you know, we used to think that women wanted a storyline sort of pornography, that they wanted to connect with the characters, and they wanted these big, elaborate productions. And you know what? Some of them do.
Right.
Some of them absolutely do. But we started a survey because, I mean, we had to answer the question, what do women want? Because if you're going to build a site for them, and my office manager likes to get her hair pulled, and the first time somebody tries to pull my hair, they're probably going to get their foot stamped on. You know, it's just right then and there we realized within the first 2 seconds of let's start a porn site for women that we had a problem on our hands, and that was to find out what women wanted. So we started a survey that's been running for 15 years, and over 30,000 women have partaken in that survey, and I can honestly say that I know what women want now, and you know, and I can tell you their tastes are diverse as men's, if not more so.
Wow.
You know, so those are the type of movies that we try to incorporate. So, you know, we do have spanking movies, and we do have BDSM, and we do have rough sex, and we do have full storylines, and we do have softcore, and we do have just sex scenes. And, you know, we've got everything in there because that's what our members want.
Right.
And, you know, one of the funniest stories is that when we had a request for a spanking movie, and of course, with Colin, you know, running a BDSM site, I think, I said, I got this nailed. I can do this one. So, you know, I go to Colin and go, okay, we need to shoot something for Shush that's a spanking movie. But we very quickly found out that there's this huge difference in definition when it comes to spanking for women or what this person had wanted and what we actually did for Wasteland, where this person sort of wanted the no sex. And it was like, you know, she just wanted to have done something wrong. It was more domestic discipline, and she had wanted to do something wrong, and, you know, then the woman got spanked. And it was like, oh, my God, this is like, I don't know how to do this. I mean, this isn't Wasteland. This isn't, wow, what do we do? So Colin said, you know, I've got a really good friend. You know, she specializes in spanking movies for women. And I'm going, oh, my God. So we phone her up, and we're saying, how do we do this? And she says, well, you start with no sex. And it was like, no sex? And it was like, really, no sex? And she said, really, no sex. She said, this is about the spanking and the headspace. So we learned something. I mean, every day we learn something about what these women want to see. And the thing about Shush is that whatever your request is, as long as it's legal and consensual, that's awesome, because I want women to understand that regardless of their kink, it's normal.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest problem with women and sexuality, is that they think, I like to get my hair pulled, but is that normal? But when they go to Shush and they, you know, and they see articles about hair pulling, or a movie where a girl is getting their hair pulled, or they're talking in the chat room about hair pulling, they realize, okay, well, maybe not everybody likes it, but a lot of people do.
Yeah.
So that's true. Okay.
When you guys started Wasteland, how did you both kind of come to an agreement that this is what you wanted to do?
Wasteland?
Yeah, when you first started.
Very much by accident. We were, you know, in the early 1990s, we were running mail order catalogs for, like, Celtic jewelry and things like that. And we were at the Boston gift show, you know, and she was picking out, you know, new merchandise. And I spotted this line of kinky leather clothing. Like, you know, cuffs and bustiers and things like that. And it was a manufacturer. So I said, you know, would you mind if I tried to do a mail order catalog of that? And they said, absolutely. And they gave me all the pictures, the beautiful women in leather and very sexy stuff. So we did a mail order catalog. And then this new thing came along called the Internet. And I said, well, maybe if I put these pictures up, people will ask us to send them a catalog. Yeah. And we very, very quickly in 1984... discovered a whole lot of people really wanted to see kinky women in leather photos.
Yeah.
And that's how we started. It was just a complete and total stumble upon.
Wow. Very interesting. Yeah. And I guess, I mean, to do this, you guys have to live in the lifestyle as well, right? Because, I mean, it sounds like your passion.
Well, we're a little different because we're both dominant personalities.
Right.
So, you know, we're not your typical, you know, she's right. The dominant and I'm the submissive guy, you know. We're very, very different in that respect, because we are, you know, peers, equals, business partners, and married.
Right.
But
right.
We have a deep understanding of how all of this works through
right.
making films and having a lot of friends and, you know, people within the community that, you know, we've known for 20 years at this point.
Amazing. So you guys are together. You guys are married?
Yeah.
Yep.
To each other. Wow, amazing. Well, congratulations. How long have you been married?
20-some, how many years?
Wow.
I think it's actually 20 next year, or maybe the year after.
Wow. Well,
we're coming up to 20 years.
Congratulations to you. That's amazing, you know. And obviously you guys have grown together and stuff, which is, you know, not everybody can say that.
Well, we've also got an interesting distinction that we're the only married couple that both of us have been independently, 2 years apart, inducted into the AVN Hall of Fame Founders Division.
Angie
came in last year and I went in 2 years before.
Wonderful. Wow. So you've been in the industry for a while as well.
Yep, 20 years.
Wow, amazing. Yeah. Now, you know, I'm looking at Shush here, and I mean, I totally get it. You know, it's still very, very, I mean, it's a big turn on without having to show like hardcore stuff, you know. And I can see where women can relate to this, because I think women are not as like visual as men are. I mean, maybe it's a generalization, but I think it's a fact that men are more fascinated like by the visual, and women have to have like the you know, the atmosphere, the background, you know, the
Well, one thing Angie was talking about, the polling, because we also run polls in Wasteland, which is you know, predominantly a male viewership,
right?
And you know, if you were to have the top two or three things that most men are looking for, is they want, you know, butt plugs and big boobs, and that's pretty much what guys are looking for.
Oh, wow.
If you ask women want everything. They're just more complicated. They have a vastly wider range of things to turn them on and they're looking for. So, you know, that being the case with Shush, it's a, you know, as she had said, there are a lot of different sections in it. And I think women, you know, and not to overgeneralize, but, you know, women like some degree of complexity and diversity.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, you know, they have to have a story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some kind
of... Not necessarily.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, I don't know, but...
Some do. Some like it rough and hard and you know, spank and screw.
And strangers, yeah. Sounds interesting. Okay, well, the websites are Shush, which is SSSH.com, and then Wasteland, is it Wasteland.com?
Wasteland.com.
Wow, so you are early on in getting domain names and everything. You guys have been around for a while. Good for you. So yeah, I mean, I'm definitely impressed by the websites and everything. And, you know, I mean, I'm looking at Shush here and, you know, they're not really showing anything. It's very softcore, but I find it to be pretty erotic, you know? So I think even men could probably benefit from this somehow if you're not really, cause I can't imagine all men are into really hardcore, you know, maybe some are not.
Actually, we do have hardcore on the inside. Again, it's absolutely. We have hardcore on the inside. We've got everything on the inside, from, like I said, from rough sex to hardcore, vanilla sex to softcore to storyline.
And you can tailor it to your own taste, pretty much. That's what
you can tailor it to your own taste. Right. Absolutely. If you only want to see softcore, then that's it. If you want to see hardcore, and we got some of that, and we got some BDSM, and we got everything.
Got it all.
Sounds good.
we have it all, because we don't want to put women in a box.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true. Yeah. And it's a pretty good outlet. And I mean, I've heard of you, you know. I mean, I know you've been written up in the mainstream media too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very cool.
That's part of the reason, as you look at the tour you're looking at for Shush, part of the reason why it's set up in a way that, you know, you noted that it's kind of sexy, but it's not over the top.
Right.
We do get a lot of mainstream coverage of that site, and you just can't.
Yeah, you can't
You can't start waving penises in mainstream media's face. They just run.
All right. Well,
you know, I mean, there is another. I mean, that is a very important reason. But the other reason, and you know, we had talked about with the girls in the office, is that if you're trying. You know, there's a lot of women that are absolutely hardcore porn surfers, and they're going to find what they want inside Shush, not a problem. But if you're somebody who's going, do I want to join? I'm not sure how much I like. I'm not sure what I like. Like, you know, if you're sort of sitting on the fence and you're trying to, you know, actually discover your, you know, play around with your sexuality and feel comfortable with it, I think a really hardcore tour is going to be intimidating.
Yeah. That's right.
And,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
And I think this way, it's like it's not intimidating. They're not scared to hit the next button,
right.
You know. But we make it very clear that I think where it says HD movies right on the front, it says right there that we have everything in there, from, you know, soft core to completely unfettered. So it does say right on there, we have everything inside the site. But at least it makes them feel comfortable. And when you first log into the site, you actually have to click on TV, like, you know, Shush TV, to get to the movies. So you're not, the inside of the site is exactly the same way, because we're trying to respect the women, that don't want it in their face. That's, right. You know, we're hoping that they're going to explore. We're hoping that they're going to go, all right, I've watched the couple's softcore movies, and I've watched the tutorials, and I read some articles, and I read some novels, so maybe now I'll go look at the really hardcore couple stuff, and right. Or maybe I'll check out the kink section and see what's there because I'm interested because of 50 Shades of Grey. We want it to be a place where you choose to explore and you push your boundaries as far as you feel comfortable with, as opposed to, you know, you log in and, you know, you've got 10,000 hardcore movies in your face.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. You know, that's pretty much what they are. Yeah.
We want women to choose to explore.
Right. And that's amazing, you know, and that's how you set yourself apart from the competition because, you know, as far as porn sites, they're all pretty much the same. And there you come up with something that's totally different. And it seems like you said, more like a community. I see you have chat and all that stuff here, too. So, very impressive, you know. So everybody go out and check out the websites. Now, do you guys, you said you also have a radio show. Do you want to promote that too?
No, that's fine. It's something, we're just starting it.
Okay.
So it's got interviews, it's got some shows, it's got stories and stuff like that. So it's just starting to take off now.
Oh, awesome.
One thing that we can drop a mention on is we run the web's first Twitter group chat.
Oh, Sex Talk Tuesday.
Called Sex Talk Tuesday. And if you go to sextalktuesday.com, you can get the schedule. We've got sex educators and porn stars and people like Nina Hartley have been moderators. So,
right.
You know, every Tuesday, there's another, you know, capable or famous person from the adult industry basically moderating a hosted discussion with, you know, up to a couple of hundred people all logged in there on their Twitter all at once and asking questions and having a good old time.
Yeah.
Cool. Actually, we've had two mainstream comedians on there.
Yeah, sounds good.
Which has been very exciting because it's, you know, we're reaching out to mainstream now too and they're starting to accept. So that's very, very exciting.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You guys are covering it all.
SexTalkTuesday.com, and that's a good way to, you know, kind of keep in touch with Shush.
Okay, so people go to the website.
The wasteland.
So people log on that website and they find out how to join the chat.
Yeah, it's not even a join. It's free. It's completely free.
It's free.
Right.
Their Twitter account. They just log into the feed at the right time, and they're part of the group.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
it's just hashtag Sex Talk Tuesday.
Right.
And like Colin had said, every week we have special guests, and they pose a question, which is posted ahead of time, or five. They post. They stick to a topic, and within that topic is five questions.
Right.
And everybody talks. So it is structured. So I don't remember who was on last week. I think Chanel Preston was on a couple of weeks ago, and she talked about fantasies.
Uh-huh. Well,
and so she posed, you know, five questions, and, you know, what are your favorite fantasies or you know, topics like that. And then everybody talks about that.
Yeah. Well,
so
sounds good.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So you guys are really into putting people together and stuff to talk about sex and that. And that's a good thing, you know. I mean, that's because you know, I noticed that in the when you start talking about sex and everything, people clam up, you know, and especially on the social networks, you know, people don't want to really reveal that they're even interested in sex, you know. And so you're giving people sort of an outlet to be able to connect with other like-minded people and experience it, you know. And I think it's a very cool thing. I'm definitely going to check out Shish because it's very enticing to me. I don't care that it's for women. I mean, I read Jackie Collins novels. I'm okay. I'm in touch with my feminine side. Thank you very much. All right. Well, Colin and Angie, thank you so much for coming on the show with us. It's been really fascinating.
Yeah.
And let's check out wasteland.com and shish.com. And all the best to you guys. We'll also put links to your websites on our website so people can go and check it out. And I think if anything else, you know, for women, because there are women that just look for the hardcore, like we mentioned and stuff. But many women are not. And if they still want to find something stimulating and that, then I think this is definitely the way to go, yeah. And the BDSM community, of course, I'm going to check that out. You know, I've been Well, I've, you know, I mean, I've read and seen and things about BDSM, but for some reason, it just doesn't suit my taste. But I also realized you can't sit there and judge other people because, mm-hmm. you know, people have all kinds of things, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as it's healthy and consensual and stuff, what's wrong with it, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much again.
And, thank you for having us.
Absolutely. And enlightening us on the fact that New Hampshire is open to porn production. I'm sure a lot of people are going to move there. But
some have, and then they discover this thing we've got called winter.
Yeah.
And they wonder why they did that.
And they turn right around, right? Do 180 and come back to California.
That's right.
All right, guys. All the best
thank
to
you. Thank you very much, guys.
Okay,
and
thank you.
Dutch.
Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's... I mean, are you, like, uncomfortable talking about things like that? Or
a little.
Yeah. I know, I figured. That's why I try to ease you into it.
A little bit. And I don't know why, but...
It's your upbringing and stuff.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I mean, you come across as such like a goody two shoes.
I kind of am.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable, but not. But that's me.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. I don't know. That's me.
No, it's true. I mean,
my
but
fault.
As you get through life, you'll realize that you open up more and more open minded and, mm-hmm. and things like that. You know, but. Yeah, I mean, it's the way of being raised also and everything, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's not like my parents ever talked to me about sex or anything. But growing up, it was, you know, with my friends, with everything, we were pretty open about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then for men, it's different too, you know. We don't
Definitely.
Hide the fact. We're totally programmed just for one thing, you know. And that's it, you know, to provide sperm. I mean, anything else is like, you know, what do we need men for, right? They just cause wars and trouble.
Kind of true.
So, yeah, so that's that. And, yeah, so, you know, I mean, I'm being exposed to people in the industry with the mm-hmm. news station and stuff like that. And, look, there's bad and there's good in it, you know. I mean, many
right.
of them are like flakes. They don't show up or they show up late and stuff. But, you know, again, that's some people, you know.
Are
not
you experiencing
everybody's
a
like
lot
that.
With that?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah, I've already experienced
that.
But that's okay, you know. I mean, once you have a lot of shows and stuff, it doesn't really matter.
You need to tell them the show starts an hour before it does.
Yeah, exactly. They'll still be late,
there you,
you
go.
Know. But yeah, but these are people that are comfortable talking about this their sexual preferences freely and stuff.
Right.
And it's different, you know. I mean, it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring up this thing. You probably read about this, but I guess the feds are investigating 55 colleges and universities for the way they handled sexual violence and harassment. And
no, I
FSU
haven't read
is
that,
one
actually.
Of them. They've got some
really?
Of the biggest schools. Yeah, Arizona State, California Berkeley, Florida State, Harvard, Michigan.
Wow.
Yeah, USC. So I guess they're just talking about how the policies for handling this stuff, you know.
And they're doing what?
They're investigating how they're handling those incidents.
In sexual incidents?
Yeah. Like for example, let's say a woman complains or something that she was attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Then the way the school handles
right.
that complaint is probably illegal or something. Or that's
well,
what
it doesn't
suspecting.
Surprise me that Florida State's on that with the whole Jameis Winston thing.
Yeah.
probably been bad if that wasn't.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of schools.
Yeah, 55 of them and some of the big ones, you know.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, it's still like a man's world, you know, in college mm-hmm. and they need to change the rules and stuff. So.
Oh, definitely. Definitely a man's world.
Yeah, and in the military, it's the same thing, you know.
And especially when you have fraternities and sororities and
right.
that the fraternities are always the dominant
right.
groups of people.
Right. And they just kind of like, they don't ask, they just
mm-hmm.
take,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
They expect, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. So, yeah, I mean, that's a big thing. But, you know, I see why they would do this, you know, because if you're a woman and you don't feel safe in your school, you've got a problem.
Definitely.
You know?
That's the way you expect to feel safe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and then if guys think that they can just get away with it, then they won't stop, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's a pretty good thing, and we'll see how far this investigation is going to go and stuff.
Gross.
But, you know.
I wonder if there's a correlation with drinking with those schools, because I know FSU is a big, it's a well-known party school.
Yeah.
West Virginia, I don't know if they're on the list, but they're a big party school.
Yeah.
USC is a pretty big party school.
Yeah.
Well,
they're saying Virginia. I don't know if it's West Virginia, but yeah, that's
right.
So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of big name schools here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So well, I don't know. You know, I mean, but we've seen some cases, I guess, where they didn't handle it well. You know, mm-hmm. when there was rape and stuff. Mm-hmm. I remember a couple cases in college and stuff.
It's a tough topic because
yeah.
when it goes. When it gets into the media, that's when it gets...
Right, yeah.
That's when I feel like it's badly handled.
Yeah. I know. They, like, tear it apart, you yeah. know, and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, I guess they're saying that 1 in 3 Americans are spending too much on rent.
And I'm one of them.
I think we can agree, right?
Yeah.
We live in a very expensive area, relatively speaking. And, I mean, this is no Beverly Hills, but it's still an upscale area. Right here in Sherman Oaks. And the rents are through the roof, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, they're saying, you know, that many people with an overall median income of less than $35,000 in the Bronx, the average rent is $1,800.
That's insane.
Yeah, you know. And that's probably, you know, for a one bedroom or something. Mm-hmm. So
well,
that's
I know,
a lot of money.
I know someone. I make what they make in a month.
Uh-huh.
What they make in a week, I make in a month.
Wow.
And I pay more rent than them.
Really?
Yeah, almost
wow.
double.
Wow.
I'm like, how?
Jeez, yeah.
How? I make in a month what yeah. you make in a week.
Well, it depends where you choose to live. Do they live in a good area?
A good area, yeah.
Really? So how is that possible?
Because it's a 2-bed.
Okay.
And he does share with somebody.
Oh, okay.
But still, it's... I mean, I have a studio apartment. It's
right.
tiny.
Yeah.
And it just, I hate putting that much money into an apartment.
Yeah.
It drives me insane.
I know. But you
crazy.
Want to live somewhere safe too, you know?
Exactly.
So
and
it's not always about
completely
the price.
And
you
I
know?
Do pay for, I have a lot of amenities in my
right.
apartment complex. So
yeah,
I
you do. It's
that.
Like a resort or something where you are, right? I mean,
it's
they got
big,
the gyms and
yeah.
the pool and everything.
It's a big place.
Yeah.
But now I'm so busy, I don't even use, because when I first got into town, I had a fair amount of free time during the day.
Right.
I was working in the morning and night and weekends, and during the day I would lay by the pool or do something, go to the gym.
Right.
But now I don't have time.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm not even using any of the
amenities.
That's
true. So you're paying for it and you're not
yeah,
really using it.
Yeah, and I'm not using it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, maybe you can stay in the area and find something more affordable,
yeah.
you know. I
mm-hmm.
don't know. But the fact remains that, you know, I mean, the rents are high. You know, I mean, we complain, but New York is even worse,
oh,
you know.
Oh, my goodness.
And,
yeah.
I mean, you get garbage to live in, you know, like a dump, and
yeah.
you pay a couple thousand, $3,000 probably.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I could never live in those conditions, you know. And, you know, so, but I choose to pay a little bit more and live in a good area and
mm-hmm.
stuff. But, yeah, you know, so, but it's affecting all people, I guess, all over the place.
Definitely, and especially when the economy, I mean, the economy isn't as bad in America as it is in England.
Right.
But especially when the economy is bad, economy, seem to can't say that word today. When the economy is bad, what to have to pay, and I know even just things, I mean, my health insurance with Obamacare,
right.
that skyrocketed, and numerous things have just really gone up.
Yeah.
And
it's expensive to live.
Makes
yeah.
me sad.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. Because the worry of worrying about money is never a good worry.
No. It's
yeah.
To me, it's depressing. It's almost
and
immobilizing
yeah,
to me.
Yeah. And the sad thing is, I think everyone does worry about money.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. All right, Charlotte. Well, this is it for today. We have one more day and then it's the weekend
and then
again.
It's the weekend.
I don't believe it. It seems like we just came back
I
to
know.
Work.
It goes so quickly.
I know. We're getting old quick. What is this?
I know.
Everybody, I mean, somebody stop the time for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm almost
make it go a bit slower.
Almost my birthday. My birthday is on the 10th of May. So,
really soon.
Yeah. So I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to be embarrassed to say how old I am.
Just when it's your birthday, my mom does this. She gets a year younger
yeah,
every year.
That's true. Yeah.
So you should do that.
Yeah, I know.
You'll be a 50 again in no time.
That's true, huh? Just go backwards. Yeah. Awesome. But we're going to have to get your mom on the phone sometime, you know?
Yes,
is she awake when we're here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
She is.
Good. It's, then get the number handy and we'll plan to talk to her sometime.
Definitely.
Does she listen to the show sometime?
She does.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for listening. Thank you to Angie and Colin for calling in. And we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.